your eyes to the skies. It's time for Spaced Out on 95 PFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.
Yes, it is.
Hi, David.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Have you had a nice
Let me just say
season?
Happy New Year.
Oh, thank you. And the same view for this year, 2018. I've got to keep on saying it so I don't forget.
That's right. We got told off for saying 2018.
Can we say 2018?
We can do what we want when we want, John.
Why not?
Either way it works for me.
Okay.
I actually feel like 2018 makes more sense. But anyway, what's going on in space? Let's talk about the real deals here.
The real deal. Well, let's start off with ET, shall we?
Yes.
Officially known as extraterrestrial. That's what that's short for, everyone, just
that's
to catch everyone up to speed.
End of last year, that rock went past, got Oumuamua, this elongated cigar-shaped rock.
With organic matter on the outside of it, wasn't
well,
it?
Well, yeah,
like
they didn't know at first, but they're pretty sure that's what it is, a thick crust of
space snot.
Of organic material. So what you're talking about there is like frozen carbon dioxide, methane and methanol, that sort of stuff. But the reason it's sort of crusted so well is out beyond the stars and between the stars, there's particles, high-energy particles called cosmic rays that are flying around all over the place.
Sorry, what are they called? Cosmic rays?
Cosmic rays.
I like
but they're
it.
Actually particles.
That's good branding.
Yeah. And they're very high energy, and they change the molecular structure. They can damage DNA and so on humans and on people. But out in space, it forms this crust around that object. The reason they're looking so carefully after its discovery was because it was so odd, and because it came from beyond our solar system, the thought was, well, maybe it's an alien spacecraft, or, you know, maybe there's life on it, or something like that.
And?
So they don't think there's any alien life.
What?
They don't think it's, you know, ET sort of waving from inside or anything like that.
Not as we know it, though.
Maybe. Could be. That's right, John. That's right.
But what I can say is, I didn't mention it last year, but back in October, another group actually sent a message to a planet. They got hold of a radio telescope.
Like maths? Like a SOS kind of 00101 sort of message? Or?
No, people think that wouldn't be such a good idea because they might come here and do stuff we don't want them to do.
What was the message it was sending? Please don't come here.
That might help, I don't know. But this one had scientific and mathematic stuff in it, you know, like a tutorial.
But isn't that bad? Because we're kind of going, look at us, big brainies, look at it, we're kicking ass. And then if some, like, super genius alien sees that and is like, I'm going to go squash these bugs in immediately.
Possibly, but I think the main reason for doing it that way is not to show how brainy we are, but just because mathematics is something that trends.
It's the language of the universe.
Language. So if you can get communication going at a mathematical, scientific level on things that are fundamental to the universe,
right,
then from there maybe you can get to language discussing other things like music or art or whatever.
Is there a chance that with all the stuff that we know that we're just completely off the mark there, and like another life form will go, what the hell? You guys got it all wrong. You need to move the decimal place kind of thing?
It's possible. And in fact, Stephen Hawking, that wonderful physicist in the wheelchair, I mean, he's warned against sending messages like this because he reckons that the ET might very well do that.
Right. And we're always changing our opinions as well, aren't we? So it's a bit...
Well, yeah. But the one thing about this message, it was sent to a star that's about 12 light years away.
Now,
it's a very long distance. A light year is 9.5 trillion kilometers. But it's the closest star that we can see that has a planet around it.
Yes.
And so if you send a signal to that star, it's going to take 12 years for the signal to get there. If there is ET, it'll take the same amount of time for the reply to come back.
So we've got time to prepare for their invasion.
Sorry?
We've got time to prepare for their invasion.
Knack, 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 knack.
Well, no, this is just the message, not them actually getting it. This is the signal.
Oh, right. We've got heaps of time, yeah. It's not going to be our problem, actually.
But what we've got to do is that's in 25 years from now. Someone's got to remember to look and listen in case there is a response.
Yes, of course.
You know, the people who sent this in 25 years, many of them will probably be dead.
That's a good point.
So with anything like this, it's a long-term project. And
David, I think we have to change the subject because Johnny can't stop thinking about Mars Attacks now, and he's just thinking about those things going knack 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 knack.
This is Mars.
Hey, but you mentioned Stephen Hawking, and I think it's obviously of note that it's his 76th birthday.
Oh, happy birthday! That's actually younger than I thought.
Yeah, 76 years old. I think it was yesterday, which is pretty amazing, given that he was diagnosed with ALS in 1963, when he was 21 years old, and he was given 2 years to live.
Have you watched that movie about him? That kind of Hollywood blockbuster? Yeah, it was a bit of a Hollywood blockbuster. It came out maybe 2 years ago. It wasn't bad.
I didn't see that one. I saw a TV one a bit further long ago than that. Yeah.
Definitely impressive. Definitely impressive.
Oh, absolutely. You know. So anyway, I just thought I'd do a shout out to.
Yeah, right on.
Would you say that he's one of the greatest minds of the
kicking
space
around
community?
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm. And I thought also a bit of a shout out to someone who weren't here because he's dead. That's John Young. John Young was an astronaut. He was 42 years with NASA. He's sort of not really had the prominence of someone like Armstrong or Aldrin,
right.
But he actually did a lot more. In fact, he was he commanded the first Gemini mission. That's the two-seater spacecraft before Apollo. He was on the second Gemini mission. He was in Apollo 10. Apollo 10 went to the moon and came back. They didn't land.
Right.
But what they did is the other two astronauts, there were three of them, John Young stayed on the command module. The other two hopped in the lander, separated, but never went down to the surface. That was Apollo 11 that did that. But that meant that John Young was left alone in the command module. He was the first person to orbit the moon alone.
Freaky.
But he went down in Apollo 16 and actually went down to the surface on Apollo 16 to the moon. And then the space shuttle, he commanded the first space shuttle, which was, in fact, Columbia, the one that later burnt up on re-entry.
This is the rugged days of space travel.
He's had an amazing, that's actually an amazing history.
Absolutely.
Of space travel. If I flew to the moon once,
yeah,
I would probably just stick to once. I probably wouldn't risk it that many times.
Absolutely. I mean, he's the only astronaut to have flown four different spacecraft. So he had two Gemini missions, two Apollo, two space shuttle flights. And he also went down and back up to the moon in the lunar lander, which counts as a different spacecraft.
And apparently he famously smuggled a corned beef sandwich onto a space flight one time.
He did. That was in Gemini.
And it was actually for another astronaut, not for himself. What a great dude.
Yeah, he did. You're absolutely right.
Amazing. Amazing. And I read that he went on to curate the NASA base at Houston.
He was actually 42 years with NASA, and even when he retired, he was given a card that gave him a pass to any part of the Johnson Space Center.
That's meant.
So he could basically just wander into any meeting, any level, and participate and contribute.
Wow.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Just very quickly, the Rocket Lab, they were going to launch before Christmas. They finally scrubbed all that, and they haven't announced when they're going to launch this year, so wait for that to come along.
Right, and I just quickly, I saw some pictures of Elon Musk launching the rocket in California. Would we expect to see a similar
Sorry,
photo?
You need to speak up, I can't quite hear.
Oh, I saw some photos of Elon Musk launching his rocket just before Christmas.
That's such a great name, by the way.
Would the rocket launch in New Zealand look something as spectacular as that?
Like the Sky Tower on New Year's?
Probably not. And in fact, that one that was all over the news and the internet and so on with the those wonderful clouds, it's very rare for that to happen. It's just the way the vapor trail was caught by the sun, which was a very low angle. The timing of that was just perfect for that to be seen like the way it was. So probably not. I'm pretty sure Rocket Lab, their launch will be in bright daylight.
Okay. All right. Now, what's happening at the Stardome over...
Okay, we've got a few things. At the moment this week, we've got public shows. So it's just like our Saturday program, 10, 11, 1 and 2 are the times. But the program is the same order of shows for children that we have in the normal weekends. So that's until Friday, and then next week we begin the holiday program, So that's called Stellar Summer Days.
Is that like a boot camp, or is it like a sort of a daycare scenario? What's that?
No, it's not daycare.
Drop the kids
parents
off, blow
become
their minds.
Very involved and take part as well.
Sweet.
So I'll talk maybe a bit more about the detail of it
next week.
But just check it out on the website at stardome.org.nz. You can book online, or you can phone and order book it through reception.
Back to the Future movie night, is it?
Following week, Wednesday the 17th. That's our science fiction movie night, Back to the Future Part 2. So get in for that. That's a 7 p.m. Show. It's not a full dome view. It's a normal rectangular screen at the front.
Cool. Hey, just lastly, David, I'm curious. This may be a really stupid question, and it's most likely because I'm asking it, but is there a time of year, like a season, that's best for looking at the stars? I assume it to be summer.
It depends what your priorities are. I mean, summer's better because it's warmer.
Okay, why is that better? Oh, okay, yeah, sweet.
But you've got less nighttime.
Good.
So if you want longer time to look at the stars, then winter is going to be better because nighttime is longer.
I hadn't considered that.
It's cold.
Yeah.
What's the current night sky doing, just lastly?
After sunset, we've got Orion and the Pleiades. That's the Matariki in the north, and in the south, we've got the Southern Cross. No planets, I'm afraid. No moon after sunset. The moon's going towards new moon. But in the morning, there's actually four planets in the morning sky. Jupiter and Mars are quite close together in the northeast, and the moon's going to go past the two of those in the next few days. So if people want to get a good photograph, that'd be a wonderful one to do. And low in the near the horizon is Saturn and Mercury. We can't see Venus at the moment, it's too close to the sun. So it's actually good skies, good things to see at the moment, and with the weather being what it is, it actually is quite good. But yeah, we just don't have as much nighttime as we do in winter.
Okay, so you sort of can't sky binge like you normally like to.
There might be, for those living way down south, not for us in Auckland, I'm afraid, but down the south of South Island, it's possible they might see some aurora.
There's too many... aurora, yes. That's a buzzword.
Well,
there's too many lights around Auckland, eh?
Even though the sun's a bit quiet, it doesn't have many sunspots, if any, it still sends out what's called the solar wind, and it comes out of these holes in the atmosphere.
Man.
And it sent out a whole bunch of stuff a few days ago, and that's going to be arriving about now. And there could well be some good aurora for people down south. Again, because it's summer, there's less time, and it's not the right sort of angle to see it well, but if it's a really strong one, they might be very lucky. So
don't turn your nose up at an aurora if it shows its head, isn't it?
Sleep all day and stay up all night to see the aurora.
Hey, thank you, David. Always a pleasure.
Okay, we'll speak next week.
Right on. Thanks, bud.
Look forward to it. Bye.
Control, we are docked. That was Spaced Out on 95 BFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.